Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I greet you in the name of Jesus tonight, and it's just a privilege for me to feel like I want to cry already, but just to be able to share the gospel with you, meaning the good news of Jesus Christ that I'd like to share with you tonight and just share a little bit of my testimony of what the Lord has done for me and how he's helped me and how he's delivered me. I was in a bad place, but he set me free. And but the good news. There's good news tonight, and I want to share that with you. And the good news is that for all of us, there is forgiveness of sins. I want you to know that in the Bible, it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. The penalty for sin is death, is to be separated from God for all eternity. You know, if you go to a judge and you're tried for murder and he just lets you go home, he's not a righteous judge. And so our God, too, is a God who loves us, but it's also a righteous judge. And sin must be dealt with. And the wages of sin is to be separated from God for all eternity. But the good news is that because of Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life. We can have all of our sins actually forgiven. They spoke about the blood of Jesus just now, meaning the death of Jesus. He died on a cross for our sins. And that's good news. That means we didn't have to die, and we didn't have to be separated from God for all. For all eternity. For all eternity. And this is the good news. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, I want you to go to his disciples and to you and me. I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. My friend goes home in the evening, she tells me, and he preaches to the plants, which is part of creation. But the Lord wants us to preach the good news to all creation, that there's forgiveness of sins. And to tell everyone that there is freedom from the power and fear of death. There's so many people in the world that are fearful of death. And that because they don't know where they're going to go. They've got no idea. And there's a fear in them. And it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 that eternity is written in the heart of man. God has put it there, every woman, every man, every child. Eternity is in your heart, whether you want to admit it or not. And God is so good, he gives you a choice where you're going to spend it. He doesn't force you. He's a gentle God and a loving God and a good father. And he gives you a choice where you will spend eternity, either with God forever or without God forever. And the choice is yours. And you can make that choice tonight. The Bible says there's a wide road and it leads to destruction. But there's a narrow road and it leads to eternal life. And that's the way of Jesus Christ. And so today you can make a choice and you can choose. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on. And also it's good news that when you receive Jesus into your heart, that he gives you his Holy Spirit, his presence here on earth. It's God the Father, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians 1:13 that as you hear the message of Christ, as you hear about the good news of Jesus and you receive him and you believe the word, that word in the Greek means to fully entrust yourself to Christ. To fully entrust your whole spiritual being to Jesus, then he seals you with the Holy Ghost. You are sealed. It's like when a young man gets married, or he's going to get married, and he's engaged, he puts a ring on the finger. And he says, now you're mine. You're booked. You're booked. You're mine. And so with Jesus too, when we receive him, he gives us the Holy Spirit. He seals us with the Holy Ghost. And he says, you're mine. No one can snatch you out of your hand, out of his hand. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And I remember when I had the unholy spirit in my life doing all the bad things, not knowing God. But he rescued me. I was in the kingdom of darkness, and I was a slave to sin. The Bible says because we are sinners, we are slaves to sin. The devil is our master. I was a child of the devil. I didn't confess that he was my father, but I was either a child of the devil or I was a child of God. But I was a child of the devil, and I was a slave to sin. But Jesus rescued me. He purchased me with his precious blood. It says in the Bible that because of what Jesus did on the cross, in Revelations, it says that he purchased men and women from all nations and all tribes for God with his precious blood. you and I were paid for. If you're a Christian in this place today, you know that you were paid for by the precious blood of Christ, not with silver or gold, but with his blood, with his death on the cross. In Colossians chapter 1 from verse 13 to 14, it says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. He paid with the blood. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen? That's good news, that we can be forgiven and that we can have eternal life. And I want to say that, you know, as I was preparing for tonight, there were two things that the Lord wanted me to share, and that was one of them. That was one of them. And I want to say that for the first 35 years of my life, I was blinded. I was blind. I couldn't see. I didn't know that there was a loving God who loves me, who cares for me, who's got a plan for my life. For 35 years, I was messed up. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that the God of this world, who is Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. Blinded by sin. We were born into sin through Adam and Eve. All of us born into sin. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, David says, surely from childbirth I was a sinner, from the time my mother conceived me. As far back as I can remember, I was a sinner, and I was blinded. And that's Satan's mission, to keep you, to keep the world blinded, that you won't know God, that you can't see him. That's his mission. But Jesus also got a mission. When Jesus was on the earth over 2,000 years ago, he looked at the crowds and he saw that they were helpless. And they were harassed. And they were hurting. And he had a mission to come and save them. And so he opened up a scroll in a synagogue and he read his mission statement. His mission statement for the world, which is passed down to his disciples. And it says, and he said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, he has empowered me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom for those who are in bondage, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and to comfort all who mourn. And in Isaiah 42 verse 7, it speaks of Jesus, and it says, you, Jesus, will open the eyes of the blind. You will free the captives from prison, releasing those who sit in dark dungeons. And I believe that the Lord wants to do that today, that he wants to open eyes, and he will do that by his Holy Spirit. He will do it, and he'll open your eyes that you can see him and know him, and that you can come into relationship with him. God's got a good life for you and for me. Amen? From darkness into his marvelous light. So when I was preparing for this time, for this wonderful congregation, I felt the Lord say that he wanted to speak to the people about the land that he has for them. And the Bible speaks about a land flowing with milk and honey. That he's got a land for you to live in. A land for you to dwell in. A life that tastes like honey. A land flowing with milk and honey. You know, over about 1,500 years before the time of Jesus, God's people were living in Egypt. And they were trapped there. They were in bondage. They were slaves. And it's a story of our lives. In today's times, there's a spiritual Egypt that people are, they're locked up in, they're in a bondage, and they are suffering, and they're in torment. And for 400 years, they cried out to God to help them. And after 400 years, he came down. He said, now's the time to help them. I'm thinking the other day, 400 years, but he could have done it after the first year. But his timing is perfect. And there's a time in the Bible that says where every man will hear the gospel and be saved. And so they waited 400 years. And then at the right time, God said, right, I'm coming to rescue you. And I think for some of you here today, it's that time tonight. Maybe for 20 years, you've been in Egypt. Maybe for 30 years. But tonight is a night that God hears your cry. And he wants to come and rescue you. So it was at the time when the people were in Egypt, and God came down. And once again, he also saw the people were like, they're harassed and helpless without a shepherd. And so he picked a shepherd out of the bush there, Moses. And he said, I'm going to use you. And he got Moses at the burning bush. I think a lot of you will know this story. And Moses looked at the bush and he said, well, this is a strange phenomenon over here. And he went over there and the Lord spoke to him and he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. And I remember when I was 35 years old, there was also a cry in my heart for God to come and help me. I didn't even know if God was real. But it often starts with a cry. And the Lord heard their cry. And he responded. You know, I remember my whole life up until the age of 35 was a life of a big cry in my heart. I didn't know that I could come to a God who loves me and who's got a plan for me and who can help me. I remember when I was 6 years old. You know, my poor mother came to the school where I was at. And when she got there, I was tied up to a chair, tied up with rope. And I was just rebellious from that early age. I grew up with a father who was very violent, very abusive. He used to belittle me a lot and embarrass me. And he used to beat me with a beach ball bat and a shambok in front of my family and my friends. And I 10 years old, I turned to weed. I started smoking weed. And I found a lot of comfort in that. At 12 years old, I smoked my first Mandrax tablet with the friends here in the neighborhood. And I used to break into the houses in the area. My dad used to come home from work in the school holidays and then take me to the neighbors to apologize. Just totally broken. By the time I was 15, I was kicked out of 8 schools and 3 boarding schools. The last boarding school, they said to my father, Mr. Wood, send your son up here. We've handled all sorts of punks. We'll handle him. We'll sort him out. Brunflay in Northern Cape. After one term, they phoned my dad. Mr. Wood, we're sending your son back on the next bus. I was just so broken. I was just so rebellious. I started worse drugs and breaking into houses, robbing people, robbing places. When I was 20 years old, I landed up in prison. The first time I was 15, 16, I landed up in the cells a couple of times. I got 7 cuts with a cane from the police for vehicle theft. And then when I was 20, I landed up in jail with a 7-month sentence. I came out and I was back on the drugs, meeting old friends again, and then I landed back up in prison with a 9.5-year sentence for robbery, with aggravating circumstances and theft and housebreaking. And I joined a gang when I was in prison. I wanted to belong to something. I wanted to feel that I belonged. I used to sell drugs in prison, and I used to fight in prison and land up in solitary confinement. And when I came out of prison, once again, I met with my old friends, and there was a new drug in the market for me. It was crack cocaine. And I got so addicted to this drug. It's one of the most addictive drugs you get. Rocks is a street name. And I got so addicted to it. And I met this woman. And she fell pregnant, and I had a little girl. The next year, in 2003, she was born. But I was so messed up on the drugs for the next couple of years, and I just couldn't help myself. And I couldn't save myself. I couldn't get off the drugs. And it's been decades, and I just wanted a normal life. I wanted to be able to go do shopping like a normal person and buy my daughter some stuff, and I couldn't look after her. I couldn't buy nappies. I couldn't buy milk. And I was just so broken. And I remember one morning after a whole night of smoking crack and then drinking a whole lot of downers to try and come off that, I was in this drug house, in this bed, that had these slats, and there were some slats missing, and there was just drug paraphernalia everywhere. And I cried out and I said, God, if you're real, will you please help me? Yo, my life was just messed up. No, there's a saying, I was messed up from the chest up and all tore up from the floor up. And I really was. I was in the gutter, man. I had nothing and I was losing everything. And I said, God, if you're real, if you're real, will you please help me? And late that morning, two people came to where I was staying. One was a drug addict friend of mine. He looked at me and said, Declan, you look bad. And that's coming from a drug addict. And I was in a terrible state. But they took me to this Christian men's home. You know, when he said to me that there's a place up the road and people are going there and they're being set free. Yo, my heart skipped a beat. I'm like, I need to go there. These Christians that are there. And I went there and there was this ex-murderer convict who had been saved, and he prayed for me. When he prayed for me, the peace of God came upon me, and I went into this men's home, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, I wanted no drugs. I wanted no cigarettes. I wanted no alcohol. I wanted no sex. Jesus just filled me right there. And His grace, He heard my cry, you know, at the right time. And He saved me, and He rescued me. And I went into this Christian men's home for 1 year. And I began to, when I went in there, I began to read the Bible, and all of a sudden, I realized, wow, God is speaking to me. These words are real. I remember taking Bible pages when I was in solitary confinement and rolling joints. But now I was reading the Word of God and it was beginning to fill me. I could feel God moving in me. The Bible says the Holy Spirit's ruach, is a wind. I could feel His wind in me. And He began to change me. And then I came to Josh Jen. And I must be honest, I backslid and I forward slid and backslid and forward slid, back on the drugs. But I knew that God had started to work in my life. And I didn't want to go back because I know the consequences. We know the wages of sin is death. And I didn't want to die in my sin and be separated from God for all eternity. So I hung on to Jesus. And thank God, the elders in the church, they saw that God started to work in this man's life. We don't have to kick him out just yet. I struggled for the next 5 years. And I remember one night, I went into Brooklyn to go do drugs. That's the time there, Kim. Oh. You see my... No, it didn't start. I went to go do drugs, and I was doing drugs the whole night. And the next morning, I was just so messed up. I remember saying, Lord, that, if the dealer's not back with the next load of drugs by 9 o'clock, I'm coming to church. And so I came to church. But there was a time when I was in that drug house and I couldn't get out. And I was fearful for my life. And I was sitting on this couch and the guys were watching me. And I pulled my little motorbike. That was my business vehicle. And I had to get the money first before I could get that out and before I could go. And I cried out to God again. The second time. From that couch in that drug house, the dealer's house in Brooklyn. And all of a sudden, I felt the strength and the power to get up. And I went to the dealer who was doing some stuff in the room. I won't mention it, but I knocked on the door and I said to him, I need to go. I need to take my bike and I'll come back and pay you what I... And he said, yes, go. And the man at the door that was watching me had a fearful look on his face. God had done something. He heard me while I was crying, while I was sinning. He heard me from a place of sin. And I came to church and Mike Davis was preaching. And he said, some of you need a breakthrough. And for you to get your breakthrough, you need to see God from a different perspective. You need to ask God for perspective, who He is to you. And so I went home and I was crying out on the lounge and I said, God, how do you want me to see you? Do you want me to see you as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, or gentle Jesus, or the Lion of the tribe of Judah? How do you want me to see you, God? And I began to read my Bible in 2 Samuel 22. And I opened up there. Now, I must say I was addicted to crack, to rocks. And as I read, it said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, the strength of my salvation. From violent men you save me. From violent men you save me, it says. And He began to show me what He did for me. It says, I called to the Lord who was worthy of praise, and I'm saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called to the Lord. I called to my God. And from his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke arose from his nostrils and consuming fire came out of his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. It says, he mounted the cherubim and he flew and he soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, even the dark rain clouds of the sky. And out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered the enemies, bolts of lightning and routed them. And says he brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And he said, that's how I want you to see me. Even when you cry out in your sin, even when you cry out from Egypt, I'm the God who wants to rescue you. And I'm the God that wants to forgive you and walk with you and have relationship with you. And I love you. Amen? Come on. And so, one day I was in my mother's garage. And she passed away 2 weeks ago, but just before she died, I led her to Jesus Christ. She accepted the Lord. And I said to her, Mom, you're going to see Verenka now. My sister Verenka, she died of cancer. But while she was in the deathbed, I preached the gospel to her, and she wept. And she said, Deki, I want Jesus to forgive my sins. And I led her to the Lord. So I said, Mom, you're going to see Verenka. Praise God. But where was I going with that? But, you know, so I was at my mom's house in 2013. I'd been in the church for 5 years and struggled, you know, because I went back to my sin. And it was very difficult the second time around, but I was in my mom's garage and I was having a cigarette. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, when's this attack going to come again? Because when it comes, I know I'm going to go. I'll sell everything for that drug. It's so addictive. And as I thought that, after many, many years, I felt that addiction come out of me in an instant. And the Lord took it out of me. I never did drugs again up until this day. He saved me. He rescued me from that, from the drugs. But I still smoked cigarettes for a while, I must tell you. I enjoyed it for the next 3.5 years. In fact, the elder said to me, Declan, don't stop the cigarettes now because it's too much at one go. But they came to me and they said, we see that you can lead a community, but you're still smoking. So I laid the smokes down. I suffered for the next 6 months because I'd been smoking from 10 years old. And I started to lead a community. And then after time, as I just began to serve the Lord and do what I could for the Lord at, you know, at all the different conferences, working as a security guard or usher or whatever, just to keep out of trouble. And then the Lord raised me up to be a deacon in his church. You know, he set me apart as a deacon. And I began to go on some outreaches, and I went into Africa and, you know, with the guys to preach the gospel and prayed for people and see people get healed. I'll just tell you one story of a healing when we came down from Zambia down towards Botswana. It was before I came onto eldership, and I was pulled over on my motorbike because I was speeding. And there's two traffic cops. The one just ran out of the bush. There's just forest and bush. They're like, oh, where did these guys come from? And he's got his little wand and he pulls me over. And I'd obviously gone over the speed limit. You know, I'm driving a big bike there. And they pulled me over and I'm chatting with them. The one's got his camera behind the tree there. And then the other one, he's got his little desk there with a battery operated. You can pay here, you know? And I was in the flesh. I was angry. I thought, geez, I could bury you two guys in the bush here. I was very upset. You know, and the rest of the troop, the guys, another 8 bikes, they heading south towards Botswana and South Africa. And I'm getting irritated. And I feel the Lord say, you must come with the opposite spirit here. And so I say to him, listen here, while I am here, I just want you to know that we've been preaching the gospel. And is there anything that I can pray for you for, you know? And the one guy says to me, yes, well, you know, my waist, I've got a pain around here. So I said, well, let's just trust the Lord. And I laid hands on him, touched him on the side here, and we prayed. And afterwards he says, you know what, it feels like the pain is gone and it's never coming back. It was such a lovely testimony, and I had it on film. And then I said to the other guy, what can I pray for you for? He says, no, well, he says, it's a bit embarrassing. He says, oh, it's difficult for me to make love to my wife. So I laid hands on his chest straight away, and I prayed for him. And I remember just feeling such compassion for this man. And I said, Lord, please help him with his wife, you know. And I said, did you experience anything? He says, hey, I felt something move there. And we came back to Cape Town. Andrew, Wilma Ray, and all the guys. In fact, just after I was given the fine, Mike Davies and Phil and Brett Pavan, a couple of guys, they were pulled over in a vehicle carrying a big trailer, and they were going over the speed limit with that trailer. Can you believe it? Don't tell them I told you. But they got a fine as well. And these men said, hey, your friend Declan Wood was here. He just prayed for us and we got healed. Praise God. You know? And about a week later, I messaged one guy. I said, how's it going now? He says, no, my wife is smiling. Can you pray some more? I'm like, whoa, easy, brother. But you know, and so I want to say that type of life, and then coming back into the church, and in 2019, they came to me and they said, Declan, we see eldership on your life. You know, pastor, you're a shepherd, you're going to lead some people. I'm like, sure, have you got the right person? They said, no, we got the right person. I had an interview with Kim Muller, and he said, Declan, well, I think you're okay. And I came onto eldership in 2019, and part of an eldership team, and it really feels. Guys, you know, when I was just preparing in a week, it feels like I'm living in a land that's flowing with milk and honey. You know, that my life has changed. I was a drug addict and messed up and I couldn't help myself. But Jesus delivered me and he brought me into his house, into his family, into his home, and loved me. And says that he nourishes and cherishes his church. He looks after us, you know, and he's looked after me up until now. And he's helped me to have a little business. And where I couldn't afford to pay my daughter's school fees and I had to go to the school and tell them about it, I was able to pay her school fees in advance from when she was 10 years old. Right up until now, she's doing second year in varsity. And I was able to pay every year in the beginning, everything up front. Because the Lord heard my cry. I couldn't help myself. I really couldn't help myself no matter what I tried. And my daughter, she stays with me now. And I looked, when I came home the other day, and I looked on the whiteboard in the kitchen, and it says, my dad, I love you, you're my hero. Sure. And it really feels like a land of milk and honey. You know, when you come to Jesus, he makes everything new. Oh, there's some tough times, but he gives you a new life. It says in the Bible that we are saved from this present evil age. The influences of this horrible age, we are saved from that, and he brings us into the kingdom of his son, and he surrounds us with good people and with good things, and he gives us good things. And my friends, I want to say that if you can do it for an ex-junkie prisoner like me, man, he's going to do it for you, and he's going to give you a new life, an eternal life, but a good life flowing with milk and honey. You know, the Bible says that God so loved the world, and that means me, as a drug addict, that he gave his only son so that Jesus could get up on that cross and suffer and die at the hands of murderers for me. He took my punishment and he'll take your punishment tonight.